Amen. Worship so sweet today. Thank you so much, Jeremy Porras, for leading us in worship today with Jordan and Jacob, for Jamie and Blake and all the team leading us so wonderfully in worship. It's good to sing the truths of God's Word, and it's good to sing the truths of God's Word to each other to remind us of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and the truths of God's Word. Amen? And it is so good to be in the house of the Lord this day. I wondered when I looked outside this morning and I saw the blue skies, white puffy clouds and green trees, if anybody was going to go to church today. And I praise the Lord that this place is full. We'll let you out in enough time to have dinner before you go to bed. Even sooner than that. It's so good to be together as the people of God, gathering together. If you're joining with us, just visiting for the first time or just a couple of times, you know that it is our pattern to go line by line through the books of the Bible. We believe in the authority of God's Word that speaks to us, and He speaks to us through His Word. He's still speaking to His people by the living Word of God. And so we're interested to turn the pages of Scripture and see what God has to say to His people. So when you come, bring your Bible, study ahead, read ahead, be ready. Get to bed early on Saturday night so that you can be wide awake for this most important time. This is that time when we gather together. Just like the Word of God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, as is the habit of some. It's all right to take a family vacation. It's okay, get out of town, but your pattern is to gather together, to sing together, and to sit together around the Word of God as we consider what God says to us. And we are journeying through the book of Ephesians. And what an amazing book that God has given us in Ephesians. Paul, the author, really moved by the Spirit, and he writes to us, and he spoke to us about who we are in Christ, what God has done in adopting you into His family before the foundation of the world, that we are the children of God. And then practically in verses in chapters 4, 5, and 6, speaking to us about how do we live out our faith. This is what it means to now walk out our faith as the children of God. Now, when we are here in chapter 6, he's bringing things to a conclusion, as we see in chapter 6. Now, verse 10, he says, finally, my brothers, finally. And so we're going to start winding down. We will conclude our study in Ephesians next time with a sermon entitled Battlefield Prayers. Very compelling passage of scriptures as we watch the angelic hosts in motion as we pray, the power of prayer. But Paul wants to speak to us first about the armor of God, about the wardrobe that the believer should wear in these evil days, up until the time that the Lord returns. And so he's going to speak to us about the armor of God. Let's look at God's word together. We'll look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Now, Paul, as he winds this letter down, he's going to speak to us encouraging words and also words of warning about the reality of spiritual warfare. That you and I are in an invisible war, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, that's the truth. And in verses 10 through 13, he's going to speak to us truths about this battle, about our enemy, and about the victory that is available to us in Christ as we walk in the Lord's ways. And in verses 14 through 17, he'll speak to us about six articles of the armor, six pieces of that clothing, the armor of God, that God is giving and has gifted to his people, that if we will put them on, we'll have success, as God calculates success, in our journey as pilgrims on this side of eternity. And so we'll begin looking in verse 10. He says, finally now, finally, my brothers. It's important to know that he's talking to believers, those who have placed their faith in Christ. He's writing to us to give us this information. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong. And he's not speaking about a physical strength here, but a spiritual strength. Be strong in the Lord, not trusting in our own strength. I can imagine that there are many of you who have experienced what I have experienced, that there's times when we feel pretty weak and inadequate for the task in front of us. But that's all right, for the Bible tells us that when we are weak, he is strong. We're not relying on our own strength. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our own. Trusting in God's strength. Look, I promise you, whatever wisdom, whatever wealth, whatever power you think you bring to the table, it will fail you. But God's strength is adequate for the task in front of you. God's power is plenty power indeed. Rely and trust in the strength of the Lord. Now, why is it that he tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Because, like it or not, you are in a battle. We, as God's people, are in spiritual warfare. So he says, therefore, in verse 11, so put on the whole armor of God, that which God is supplying to us. You be intentional to put it on continually, putting on the armor of God. Why should I put on the armor of God? So that, says right there, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because without the armor of God and the strength of God, listen, you will not be able to stand. Let me give you a picture. Now, summertime, you go to the beach, you're walking around in your own yard. Most of the times you're going to be wearing shorts and a t-shirt. How many of you guys are ready for North Carolina summer where it's 98 degrees and 100% humidity? You ready for it? It's here. So probably you're going to be wearing shorts and a t-shirt. You go to the beach, you're wearing bathing suit, t-shirt. And look, that's fine if you're at the beach. That's an okay wardrobe. But now listen, can you imagine being on the battlefield as an American soldier in Afghanistan or Iraq? You stroll out of your tent, all the other guys got 30 pounds of uniform and equipment. They know they're going on to the battlefield. You come out in the tent, you're wearing bathing suit and t-shirt. Every one of those Marines is going to look at you and say, you're a fool. You made the wrong choice. You are going to be had on the battlefield. Look, same thing for God's people. We are in a spiritual battle, like it or not. Put on the armor of God. Don't walk into the spiritual warfare, this invisible war, just wearing t-shirts and a bathing suit. You're not prepared spiritually for what the world is going to throw at you with all of the temptation, all of the lies, all of the deceitfulness, and all of the wickedness. And it says here, against the wiles of the devil. It's interesting that a survey was taken recently. How many of people who claim to be born again believe in an actual devil? That answer should have been 100%, but it was more like 50%. Are you kidding me? Look, if you don't know you have an active enemy that is targeting you, you've lost the battle already. Paul says here that you may be able to stand against what? Against the schemes, the wiles, the strategies. There is a real enemy, Satan, and his angelic host, the fallen angels, demons, who are actually targeting and aggressively seeking to ruin you, to devour you, your family,
to destroy your family and your marriage, and he's got a game plan. And if you don't know it, you're walking into this warfare unprepared. The Apostle Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, we are not unaware of Satan's schemes. We're going out into the mission field. We're going out into the workplace. We're going out into the neighborhoods. Paul was going into foreign territory. And everywhere he went, he understood the spiritual warfare. He didn't think, hey, we're just going to go stroll into town, present the gospel, and everybody's going to love us. In fact, it seemed like every place Paul went, they tried to stone him to death or beat him to death. He faced opposition everywhere he went because he was doing the Lord's work, and we are in enemy territory until the Lord returns. The Apostle Peter was aware of this, and he would write in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, our enemy, our adversary, Satan, the devil, he's real, and he prowls around seeking whom he can devour. And some of God's people are easy pickings because we're not paying attention. We're easily deceived. We're not grounded in the Word of God. We haven't put on the armor of God. And so he says then in verse 12, just a very important verse for you to understand. Watch this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against, and he's going to spell out four different ways of describing this highly structured enemy, Satan, his angels, the fallen angels we call demons, and the spiritual warfare that's going on around us, this invisible war, and even in heavenly places. The word wrestle is the idea of strategic hand-to-hand combat here. They're getting close. They're finding weaknesses in which they can have success. And he reminds us that our battle's not against flesh and blood, not against humans, but against the spiritual agents behind them and the governments, as we'll see next week, some very peculiar angelic battling that's taken place as we look at battlefield prayers concluding this study. But we don't wrestle. We don't struggle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against, watch this, four things, principalities. That is angelic structures of leadership, hierarchy, amongst the fallen angels reporting to Satan, the devil, these rulers, these principalities, and secondly, against powers, that is authorities. They have a reporting structure. Speaks of one angel who is the prince of Persia, who has jurisdiction in that particular area of deceit and government. And it says, thirdly, against the rulers of darkness. They're trying to actively enforce darkness, deceit, discouragement, depression in those areas to take away the light, to take away truth from those areas by means of deception and distraction. Man, is he ever successful in America? God's people are so distracted. We are not even engaged in the battle. We're so distracted by all the material wealth and all the toys and all the activities and all the entertainment and all the sports. We just run headlong into that and we forget what God has called us to in this brief time on this side of eternity. Satan's having a field day with God's people. Paul is pleading with the people of God to be aware of this invisible spiritual warfare. He talks to us about putting on the armor of God, and then he speaks to us about this very real enemy. We're not battling flesh and blood. So many of us are fighting the wrong battles. We're wasting our energy, our time, and our financial resources thinking that we can solve the problem through political reform. It's interesting, if you look at the politics of the day in which Paul was writing, there was the Roman Empire, and everything was political. Everyone was trying to get them out. They were being oppressed by Rome. They were talking about Caesar and trying to overthrow, and all this was going on. It was all politics, and yet Paul and John, they don't talk about that. You know what they talk about? The gospel. The truths of God's word. Changing a nation, changing a person, changing a dad, changing a family. God's ways, God's truths are the answers to rotted hearts and lost people, darkness. Look, believe me, Satan would be happy for you to use the weapon of politics or a prosperity gospel or science or whatever philosophy of man exists. That's just more darkness. That doesn't shine a light. And so the Lord would say in Hosea, my people are dying for a lack of knowledge. There is no knowledge of God's word in the land. Let us open our mouths and speak not of the philosophies and the traditions and the rituals of men, the religion and the politics of men, but let God's word do its work. Because we're not battling flesh and blood, but principalities and powers against rulers of darkness of this age. And then fourthly, against spiritual hosts, that is forces of wickedness. Not only on the earth, but it says here in heavenly places, in spiritual places, in the heavenly realms. And that's interesting. There was a couple families that came up last night saying, tell me more about this heavenly places. I thought that Satan and the angels were working in the jurisdiction on the earth, yes. But they also have access in spiritual places, heavenly places. I want to read a passage to you from the book of Job chapter 1. And here we see some interesting insights that Job was not aware of. Job didn't know that there was a lot of this spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes. And here we get this picture where the angels of God, God grants them access into his presence and even Satan himself. And it says in Job chapter 1 verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God, that is the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them into the presence of God in heaven. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And so Satan answered the Lord and he said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. We have an active enemy, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, spiritual warfare that is taking place. He would go on and the Lord would say, have you considered my servant Job? Job was tested and tried. Satan accused Job. The only reason that he loves you is because you've pampered him. Because you've blessed him. Look how wealthy he is. The only reason he blesses you and loves you, God, is because you've given him all these things. God says, I'm going to take it all away, and you'll see he still loves me. Job passed the test. There was a second round where Satan would go back into the presence of God, accusing Job again. And Satan is accusing you, but I want to tell you, we have an advocate that stands in our defense, the Lord Jesus himself. I promise you this, you're not going to find a better lawyer, a better defense attorney than the Lord Jesus on your behalf. Amen? Satan would say, well, Job, hey, look, only because he has health, take his health away, then he's going to curse your name. Job came to the point where he said, listen, though the Lord slay me, yet shall I worship him. Be mindful of this, that God is worthy of our worship this day. Amen? And there is no other who's worthy of our worship. Don't worship the toys of this world and the things of this world. They're all passing away, and God is watching. You worship God and God alone, not fallen angels and not men. you worship the Lord. You will be tried. You will be tempted. You will be tested in all these things. We can stand firm on the promises of God, on the word of God, against all of the wickedness, against all of this highly structured angelic ranks who are seeking to devour and destroy the people of God. And so he says here, then in verse 13, therefore, listen, therefore take up the whole armor of God. That's the answer. Take up this armor of God that you may be able to withstand. If you want to withstand Satan, then put on the armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Like it or not, the times are evil. If you watch the news for 10 minutes, you'll be sick and want to turn it off. But you can tell, my goodness, sexual immorality, terrorism, wars and rumors of war, all these amazing things happening, you're thinking the world's gone crazy, turned its back on the Lord. Well, Satan is having a field day. But he tells the people of God, Paul tells the people of God, put on the whole armor of God. Be ready for battle. Now, you remember that when Paul was writing this, he was in Rome and he was in prison. You remember that? He's chained to a guard. He's looking at this guard and says, hey, man, look at all these articles of warfare, this armor that you've put on. Well, that's helping you for the physical battle, but the Lord gave him this analogy for the spiritual warfare that the people of God are in this evil day. And so he says, having done all to stand firm, then you stand. Look at it, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That is the clothing now. They would wear these tunics, this loose clothing. When they were going into battle in this wrestling, they didn't want to have loose clothing, but they would want to bind it all up together. They'd bring it all together in the girdle area, and they would tie it together and around the waist with this belt of truth. And so he's speaking to them about the belt of truth. Truth. I believe you're here now because ultimately you care about truth. You want to know what the truth is. More than you care about the rituals and traditions of men, what does God's word say? Jesus would say in John 17, 17, your word, O Lord, is truth. Jesus would say that I am the truth. He'd said this about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The scripture teaches us that it is the truth that sets us free. Look, if you want to be free, it's in the truth of God's word. All truth is God's truth. It drives me crazy as a pastor, listen, talking to people, listening to people when they say, well, you know, I know he's not a believer, but my heart tells me it's okay. I'll go ahead and get married to him. You have just placed your heart as the authority of your life above the word of God. Don't let your heart lead your decision making. Don't let the heart be the source of truth, but let the word of God be the source of truth. You need to make your decisions based on God, who knows all things, who loves you, who's speaking the truth to you. So many people talk about their feelings. Oh, I got goosebumps when I was thinking about this. I just have a strong feeling about this. I know the Word of God says something different, but, oh, you know when you're making a decision and you use the word but, as opposed to thus saith the Lord. Look, the word of God is steady. It does not pass away. The word of God lasts forever. It is a good source of truth above all others. People say, I had a dream. I had a dream. And in that dream, God, and I'm just saying, what in the world is he talking about? Look, if you want dream interpretation, you need to go to Dr. Alvin Reed. He'll interpret all the dreams for you in that. Don't ask me about that. I'm not Joseph. I just know that God has spoken to his people. He's spoken to us through his word. Someone says, I heard a voice from the Lord. I know that God leads his people, to be sure. But he never leads his people contrary to what he's already said in the Word. I heard a voice from the Lord. He told me, and then fill in the blank. And if it contradicts the Word of God, I'm telling you, you need to get your hearing fixed. Fix the hearing and just start reading what God has revealed to us in his Word. People trusting in rituals and traditions. Look, trust in the Word of God. That is our source of truth. That is the belt of truth that brings it all together. And then he says here, secondly, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness of God, which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness, he said, is that breastplate. And it protects, look, that breastplate protects all of your vital organs. Satan would look to shoot at the vital organs. He's taking aim, especially at the heart. Proverbs reminds us, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows all issues of life. You can imagine somebody who's not guarded. A lack of righteousness, a lack of holiness for the Christian leaves him vulnerable to the enemy. And so he says here, put on this breastplate of righteousness. Look at verse 15. He says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having shod, that is fitted, some translations say sandaled, having sandaled your feet, fitted your feet, get the right footwear on so that you are able to stand firm, standing, anchored and rooted in this gospel. The gospel that tells us that God loves us. The gospel that tells us that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The gospel that reconciles sinful man to a holy God. The forgiveness that we have and the hope that we have in this gospel that brings peace. We now have peace with God. Standing on those great truths, anchored in those great truths. Reminds me, I was at a soccer game. Watching kids play soccer is absolutely hilarious. And it's so very stressful if it's your own child. I never thought I would be yelling at kids, go over there, don't stay together. You know, you're just screaming, they're all huddled up, they look like they're just running around like this, you know. Drives you absolutely crazy. I drive home going, I promised myself I would stay under control and just enjoy the game. Maddie, go over there. One time they were playing on nice grass field, just cut, you know, the grass is like, just mowed nice. It had rained and the grass was wet. I don't know if you've ever tried to run on wet grass. Whew. Some of the kids had cleats on and some of them did not. And it was very easy to tell who had cleats and who did not. And the ones that had the cleats had the advantage, for they were able to cut and to stand firm and not fall down. And so, too, here he's talking about having your feet fitted with the right footwear, which is the gospel of peace, the readiness of the gospel, that you are able to stand firm, immovable, unshakable. There we are, standing, anchored in the Word of God. And then he says, in verse 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. This was not a small shield, but it was typically a large shield that they could stand behind and protect their entire body. The shield of faith that would protect them. And the word faith here, of course it speaks about the faith we find in the doctrines of Scripture, but primarily speaking to us about trust, faith in God. Our faith is in God. Our trust is in God. Our confidence, listen, my confidence is not in my own ability, but in God's ability. That faith that God has given us to know him, to trust in his sovereignty, to know that God works all things together for good. We trust in God. I hope you would be able to say that from the depth of your heart today, that my faith is in God, my trust and my confidence is in God, the shield of faith. And it's this shield that Satan is constantly shooting all of these fiery darts. Believe me, it's not for you to ask, I wonder if Satan's going to take a shot at me today. I can tell you he's going to take a shot at you today. He's firing all these fiery darts. And the picture here is the believer, through his faith, is able to extinguish and render useless all these fiery darts of temptation and deceit that are continually being launched your way. If you don't think you're going to be tempted this day, if you don't think you're going to be shot at through deception today, you have already lost. Put up this shield of faith so that you are able to quench, extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan has always, listen, always opposed the work of God. Our team that is in Ecuador, even now, they are fighting against spiritual forces, an invisible war, the spiritual warfare on the ground there. They will face opposition, and you and I must pray for them. We're going to face the opposition of temptation and deceit. God's work and God's word is opposed by Satan. Satan has always opposed God's people and God's promises. And we are aware of that. Listen, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says this. Two things we ought to know today. We know this, that we are the people of God. I know that. I know that we are the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it says, and also, secondly, we know this, that the whole world is under the sway of the devil. You know that too, don't you? The whole world is under the sway of the devil. That's what the Bible says. Be sure of those two things. You wonder why? Man, what's going on in my life? My marriage is under attack. My children are under attack. Spiritual warfare going on. Put up the shield of faith. The deception and the temptation that are being shot at you and your children, it's pouring through in the music they listen to, in the TV shows that they watch. It's pouring through. They set forth this idea that this type of sexuality, this type of marriage is normal. And then sooner or later, after it pours into their mind, they see it in the culture long enough. If that's what they're soaking in, they begin to think that's okay. They need to be spending time, we as God's people spend time marinating in and meditating in the Word of God rather than ESPN. I can't believe I said that. And also Disney Channel. We're just watching. It's just pouring in. You got to guard the ear gate and the eye gate. Here it is, just pouring in nonstop. Well, look, if you're feeding yourself the world, 7 hours a day is the average time, latest survey shows, the average TV. 7 hours. Man, I don't know how, I'm not even awake that long. You're just feeding the world in here and none of this. What do you expect when they fall into temptation? What do you expect when they go the way of the world? Easy pickings, just shooting temptation. You see all these things that the Bible says are immoral. The world says, no, that's normal. Don't hate against the world. That's just normal. You know, it reminds me of how a story I heard of Eskimos. They were having wolves that were coming in to their village at night. And so these Eskimos took sharp, razor-sharp swords. They dipped them in blood, and then they let it freeze. Then they dip them in blood again to put on another layer, let it freeze, dip them again. So there were several layers of frozen blood on this razor-sharp sword, and then they put them around the perimeter of their camp. And the wolves that were coming in at night, they were drawn to the blood. They were drawn to that. And they began to lick this frozen blood that was frozen onto the sword. And as they were licking it, their own tongues became numb because of the frozen blood. And they would work through the different layers of blood to the point where they had worn down that blood, and now they were licking with their tongue this razor-sharp sword. And because their tongues were numb, they did not realize that they were slicing up their own tongues, and they were licking their own blood, and they would bleed out and die. There are many of God's people who are licking the blood of this world, numb to sin, numb to the temptation, and just giving it in. There's no breastplate of righteousness. There's no shield of faith protecting them. All shields are down. They're licking the blood, and it's their own blood. God says, my people are dying for a lack of knowledge. God tells us to put on and to pick up the shield of faith. And then he says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, protecting the brain, protecting your thought life. This idea of salvation is not that these believers need to get saved, but it's having the confidence of our salvation. Look, I know that I've trusted Christ. I have confidence going out. Look, we are fighting. We're not fighting for the victory. We are fighting from the victory of Calvary's cross. We are fighting from the victory that Christ has already accomplished for us when he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Put on the helmet of salvation, the full assurance of who you are as a child of God. And quickly now, look at this next phrase. It says, and then lastly, number six, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the only weapon that's mentioned here, apart from us praying, which we'll look at next time together. But here, this weapon, the sword of the Spirit. You know, Rome took over with this little sword, 12 to 18 inches long, that they used very successfully for offensive and defensive purposes. Ah, this was the sword that gave them victory, and our sword that gives us victory is the Word of God. I tell you, listen, that the Word of God is completely sufficient for all that you need. You don't need anything else. The Word of God, God has given us all that we need. Let me say this. Let me read this passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16. It says, all Scripture, the Word of God, is inspired by God. It is breathed by God. It is unlike any other book you can ever get a hold of. It's the breath of God on paper, inspired by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the child of God may grow up, so that the child of God may mature spiritually, so that the child of God may be complete. You can become a complete soldier of the cross, effective now, fully equipped, he says, for every good work. Fully equipped, lacking nothing, for every good work, everything that Satan throws your way, every obstacle, every hurdle, every trial, every temptation, every struggle. We have the answer and how to defeat it, putting on the armor of God and trusting in the Word of God for protection against lies and deception, false teachers, false religion, sin, and Satan. We've got all that we need. God has given to us the armor of God. Amen. and you now have all that you need to live a life that makes a difference for the kingdom of God. You are not lacking something. You hear about some other religion. Maybe they got some secret handshake. They got some secret thing they're doing, right? Sounds like diets. I promise you, God's given you everything you need to have success as God calculates success. Listen, listen, and I close. We have just a brief time on this side of eternity. You will be tested. You will be tempted. You will be tried. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. The struggle and the battle is real. Therefore, listen, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand. And believe me, you will be able to stand indeed, for God has given you all that you need. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us this day. I thank you that we have the victory in Christ. Thank you that we have all the resources, all that we need in Christ. And thank you that we have the armor of God. Lord, I pray for your people, for protection upon your people, protecting our minds and our hearts, that we might walk in a way that is pleasing to you as Spirit-filled believers. Lord, let us hear your word and be instructed by your word this day. Let us not be caught up in discouragement, depression, disappointed, or even distracted. But let us set our eyes on things that are above. Let us set our eyes on Christ. Lord, we remember that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have all the hope, all the victory in Christ. Bless these words to our hearing, we pray, O God. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.